Should I hit play?
Do you want me to hit record?
Do you want me to hit
play? Do you want to play?
Do you want me to hit play?
What a stalemate. All right.
I'm hitting play.
I already hit record.
The following presentation is for mature audiences only. It is not intended for children, the oversensitive, or self-righteous gas bags with sticks on
This project is extremely dangerous.
Yes, because I blew it out of the goddamn airlock.
Yes. You're listening to the Guardians of the Geekery podcast, featuring Matt Starnslord.
Hello!
Carol the Cat.
Hi!
The Giddy Geeker.
Woo!
Tiffany the Technician.
Bye.
People assume that time is a strict progression of cause to effect.
What?
Action from a non-linear
motion. Don't tell her that, she'll scream at the microphone again. No, somewhere in between the scream and the death note. You just have to pretend the microphone's very casual. No, don't do that. That's shaped the wrong way for that.
Kayabunga, episode 140. Andrea King of Shakespeare, you've returned.
Yay!
If you didn't know, we have an explicit rating. You know it.
That's
now.
Right.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
All right. So, Andrea King,
our microphone isn't shaped like a penis.
And give us your 60-second elevator pitch about why you're here.
Oh, I'm... Because you told me
She's
to
like,
stay.
I just don't know at this point.
I just don't know. Do you have to go? Okay, I'll go back.
Your 60 seconds.
Say you are here on your own accord.
I am here on my own accord. I am not been forced. I am here to promote Shakespeare's Hop, Drop, and Play Shakespeare in a Day 24-Hour Theater Festival, April 22nd.
Get your tickets now.
Yes.
If you want to hear more, you can go back to episode 139, but just trust me, it sold out last year. Shakespeare
get your tickets
is
now.
Awesome. And so you want to get your tickets now, just make sure that Matt, Carol, Tiffany, and I have all bought ours first.
Yes.
All right.
Indeed.
You love me? Wow,
look at you.
All right, well, I'll tell you what I love. I love Dancing with the Stars. Yeah, I knew that was going to happen. So it was week 3 on Monday, and we had our second round of eliminations.
I'm sad.
Yeah, so it really was interesting because my prediction before the episode started was that it was probably going to be the two people in Jeopardy were going to be Mr. T and Charo. I was wrong. Mr. T was safe, but Charo was not safe, and neither was Peeta and whoever she was dancing with, which I forget right now. But anyway.
From the Hunger Games?
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah, no.
Did he bake a cake?
But it doesn't matter because they ended up being safe and what it was. Oh, Nick, was that it? Nick Vail. Yeah, from the whatever. Anyway.
Oh, The Bachelor.
The Bachelor guy. Which was surprising. But anyway, it ended up being that Charo had to go.
I love Charo
and the enthusiasm
and the
character.
Coochie coochie!
But I have to say that several of my friends, she's an amazing guitar player, like classical guitar, but she had to go. Just like Chris Kattan, she had a much better dance the day of her elimination. That seems to be the way. At least they go out on a good note.
Yeah.
She actually was quite restrained and much more
her,
demure than she normally is. So she did pretty well, even though she was part of a Vegas wedding. But anyway.
Only one? I would have thought she would have been a mini.
So I'm just going to reiterate, if you want to hear me rant and rave about Dancing with the Stars live, you can follow me on Twitter at GiddyGeeker, because I do get a little giddy about it. I raise my paddle and try to post it before they give the scores, so you can see if I'm right or wrong.
As long as you bring the paddle down, we're okay with that.
I bring the paddle
down.
That's right. I like the follow through.
But next week is your most memorable of the year, which I call AKA the Kleenex episode, because it's always something dramatic, like the birth of a child or the death of a parent
or
the year I had my life-ending accident where I died on the table for 24 seconds or something like that. So I'm sure there's going to be a lot of emotional stuff. And I say that lightheartedly, but I cry all the way through it. So so that's that Dancing with the Stars. See, it was pretty painless.
You did good.
Oh, yeah. All right. So speaking of painless. I guess you can't feel anything if you're a zombie. Walking Dead.
Yeah, you don't feel anything if you're a zombie and they shoot you in the head. So this was a season finale for Walking Dead. It ended kind of on a high note. They've been dragging things along like they do for
just episode it after
really
episode.
Sounds like episode. A formula. Like always, like the last two is when it picks.
Is when it picks back up. Mm-hmm. So the war has started between Negan and everybody else, and Rick's group was totally. They were about to fight, and then the Junkers, which are the strange people that talk like it's Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, and I can't handle them because every time they talk, it's like, it's only 4 years into this. Why are you speaking like this? It's like a group of LARPers got lost in the woods.
Oh, dear.
Oh, they remembered how to tweet.
No, it's like, it's the apocalypse. We can talk like this now, just normal. But he got double-crossed by the Junkers. And everything was going south, and Negan was about to kill Carl, and then Shiva the Tiger jumped in from Alexandria and saved the day.
Killed him?
Not Negan, no. Oh, God, shit, no. They're going to keep Negan on for, like...
Two more seasons,
at least. Just some random guy. Okay. Apparently, he taught the tiger which was the good guys and which was the bad guys, because the tiger just jumped in and killed
him. This is an actual tiger?
And this was a CGI tiger. They're not going to do a tiger.
Yeah, have you seen the behind-the-scenes CGI where it's actually a guy in a green suit going, "Rawr!"
It's far less interesting. Well, actually, it's more interesting when you think of the guy.
I'd just be laughing if I had to act across that. I don't know. What do you think?
I've been many an animal. I've never done green screen, but on stage, I've played many an animal.
Yeah. Yeah. How rehearsals for that? Yeah.
It's very freeing.
Okay.
Yeah. You go back to childhood.
Awesome.
It's nice. Yeah.
But, cool. To the surprise of absolutely no one, Sasha died. Because she got cast on Star Trek Discovery, and we knew she wasn't going to last the season. She has that show to do now. You always know when they're going to leave, because it's like, you got signed for that show. Bye. So yeah,
is that a really annoying girl that used to date the guy with the mutton chops still on the show?
Yeah, she is. Oh. And she's got a scar now. Rosalita, it's like this little Rosita. It's like this little tiny scar that she's bitching about because it's like an inch long. And it's like,
well, they probably don't have Mederma there.
It's like,
she's bitching about that.
This little tiny. It's like, I'm disfigured. It's like, honey, come on. You got like a scar this big on your cheek.
You're alive. Let's just be happy.
Yeah.
But it was an okay finale. And back in October.
Cliffhanger?
I'll watch. Yeah. Not really.
Oh, good.
Not really. Not like last time. Okay. I think they learned their lesson last time. That was just not good.
Yeah.
The fight was started and, Negan's group was pushed off, and then Negan got his group together and said, "We're going to war." It's like, you don't have enough to do with all the dead people walking around eating your brains.
They said the Battle of the Five Armies.
It is basically the Battle of the Five Armies because there's five groups.
But Walking Dead fans, you don't have to wait until October. You can watch a vastly inferior show called Fear the Walking Dead in June.
I don't.
Yeah.
For real.
I don't.
I gave up on that one after
two episodes. It's like, I can't handle Junkie Dead.
It's painful. Yeah.
Okay, so that is Walking Dead for the season. Season 7 is now over and done.
Yes, but we know in Walking Dead the zombies are legion.
Nice segue.
I transition cornerly. Go ahead.
I don't get it. Just kidding.
Shut up and talk about legion.
So yeah, this has been interesting. I won't do any spoilers. You've got a couple more to watch, I think, Carol.
Yeah.
I did finish. There's only 8 episodes in the first season, and FX, the ratings weren't fantastic, but they believed in the show, so they just released them all to Hulu. Which I thought was pretty cool.
Yeah, that is actually quite nice because I was paying for them.
Yeah. Because
I don't have cable.
Me neither.
So, yeah. So I just,
Hulu
I pay
is
for
the place to catch it. Yeah, and I think there's definitely a season 2. It's not going to be until 2018, but they are going to try to line it up for February again. So this is the same creator, Noah Hawley, of Fargo, the TV series.
Which
so
I need to catch up on because season 3 just started.
I've heard good things.
Yes. Oh, gosh.
Really
season,
show,
yeah. I really like that show. I love, love, love the movie. But the show is actually really, really good, too.
Yeah.
Cool. So what would you say, Carol? It's pretty much like Scanners meets Twin Peaks meets...
Yeah.
It got really weird near the end.
It is really not your average superhero film.
Not at all.
Because
this is
a comic book... Or comic book show. This is a comic book show. Because he's Professor X's kid.
Yeah, he is.
Given
up for adoption for some reason.
Well, because he had issues.
We find out, but yeah.
But I loved Aubrey Plaza.
Yeah.
And I don't think that... Was that character in the comic book at all? I know the character was supposed to be male. And then they just cast her. And they kept the character as just kind of
And they kept the male version of, is like this throwaway thing. But yeah. Yeah. So I thought that was pretty cool. But she actually has some good chops.
Yeah.
She really reminded me of, was it Helena Bonham?
Helena Bonham Carter?
Yeah. And Fight Club.
Oh, just that wild, yeah.
She gets totally just wild and lets all, I mean, the acting chops are amazing. And it kind of reminded me of that. But it was her own thing, I think. Yeah. So
I think she's probably my favorite thing of the show. But, yeah, I'm actually enjoying it, and I'm glad that they're doing a season two. I know it wasn't getting all that great in ratings, but...
I will say I can only watch two of these in a row before my head hurts.
Yeah,
because it's basically wild. Looking through the lens of someone who might be schizophrenic, might be powers, might be a combination of both. I really think it's a little touch of both, honestly.
It's probably a touch of both. But, yeah the guy has issues, and it's from his point of view.
So it's very difficult sometimes to process those things. So,
and there's just dance numbers out of nowhere occasionally.
Yeah. Like there should be. The world would be better with more dance numbers. Yeah. But maybe not so much for Schitt's Creek. So you finally got to watch it, Tiffany.
Yeah, so did you review this previously?
Yeah, we had
Okay, because I was like, I feel like somebody talked to me about this. but I didn't remember.
Great.
Zone out. Middle of our podcast.
I don't listen to you guys most of the time. So yes, I saw Schitt's Creek. It's on Netflix and apparently also on Amazon. I watched the first two seasons because the third season costs money and I like it, but I don't like it that much. And about the Rose family who lost all their money and now live in Schitt's Creek, a town they bought as a joke. And I have to say, I love the show. Dan Levy, the son of Eugene Levy in real life and on the show, is such a snarky guy. I just love him so much. Like, I want to be best friends with him and be around him all the time. And so, you know, if you haven't seen it, check it out.
Yeah. No, I definitely find it to be a good... nice little binge watch. So if you're looking for something. What I'm binge watching on now is Frankie and Grace, the third season that's been released. Of course, this is the Jane Fonda, Lily Tomlin series. I've got about halfway through. Okay. Then I finally had to go to bed. And I haven't been able to watch it again. But they're not hugely long episodes. And this season, Frankie and Grace are actually trying to launch their product line, which is called Vibrant, V-Y-B-R-A-N-T, for women who want to masturbate, but they're over 50, and so they've got arthritis and other issues that they have to deal with. And they actually get some test products, and there's one episode that's just hilarious, because they're realizing that they need to do research. They can't afford to pay a research group, so they decide to invite some people over, and she invites one of her friends who she thinks will be okay with it, and it's a friend from when she was married before their two husbands, you know, came out and said they were in love with each other and went off and married each other, so she hasn't been as close with this friend. Didn't realize that she found Jesus in the meantime. Oh. And so the women that she brings are her prayer group. So, they kind of have all their dildos in one basket, so they kind of have to go forward with it even if they don't want to. So that was a hilarious episode. And there's some other things that happen. The thing that I like about this is you just look, and the four top actors are, you know, Lily Tomlin, Jane Fonda, and then you've got Sam Waterston, and you've got Martin Sheen, I can't believe they're doing this little Netflix show, and it's just so amazing. Martin Sheen tries out for the community theater, and he starts singing from 1776, I actually know that musical, and it was quite funny. And then Sam Waterston's like, "What part did I get?" And they're like,
poor Sam.
It's a nice piece of trivia. Lily Tomlin played for a couple seasons Martin Sheen's secretary on The West Wing.
Did she take over after the other one died?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's what I thought.
So, so it's a great, it's another one kind of like Schitt's Creek, different vibe, But if you're looking for something that you could just sit and watch, some of the things we watch, like Iron Fist or some of the others, I find I can get about one or two episodes in, and then I have to go get my little unicorn chaser in because it's just too bloody or whatever. I need a moment. So I find that Frankie and Grace is a great little getaway one. And I think it deals with things in a realistic way. It's but fun. And I love seeing Ernie Hudson in a non-Ghostbusters role. So he plays the sexy love interest of Lily Tomlin, and he does quite well with it. So
I thought it was a trip, too. This weekend we had a couple over with their kids, and so we put on Netflix, and it's Magic School Bus, this cartoon, and the school bus really is magical. And
yeah.
They go out in outer space, but it's Lily Tomlin. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and it was like, I didn't watch that show growing up.
But funny was we put it on because we wanted to distract the kids because they wanted to touch all the... They loved the light switch, and they wanted to press all the buttons, and then they wanted to touch every single Star Wars figure, which drew their parents crazier than it did us. We were kind of okay with it, but I was okay with it.
I tolerated it.
Yeah. So anyway, so we tried to distract them, and then we've kind of found ourselves watching it, but all of us adults started laughing, because there's this one scene where this kid is walking off camera, but he actually... Okay, it's a cartoon,
right?
And he's walking off camera, and it becomes this very large crotch shot as he's walking out. And we kind of all looked at each other, and we were like, trying to, in a mind meld, because you can't say it for the kids, saying, are we just all dirty old bastards? Or did that just happen? And it was just, it was kind of hilarious. So anyway, but very excited that Kate McKinnon is potentially going to play the live action version of the Magic School Bus.
Really?
Wow. Yes.
That's perfect casting.
Yeah. And I was concerned because I was like, she's a little dark, but now that I've seen the crotch shot on the episode one, I'm like, hey, it's gonna work. All right. So we've looked at some other first looks. You said CW put out a Black Lightning first look.
Yeah. Where's so they Black showed Lightning? They showed so Black Lightning was created in the 70s. It's a DC character, so the Batman, Superman type of universe. But he never really got a lot of love back then. He was the first, I think, African-American superhero that had a solo title first in the 70s.
Before Luke Cage?
Yeah.
I believe so. I have to double check. But for DC, for sure.
Luke Cage.
Even though DC came before Marvel, they were kind of slow as far as kind of getting with the times a little bit, I guess.
They still have a Hotmail account.
Yeah. But in the show, Black Lightning has lightning powers, obviously. So he's kind of like Electro, but not as lame as the Jamie Foxx movie Electro in the Spider-Man film.
Well, the movie was lame.
It's going to be on the CW, but basically he's retired, and his daughters, who have superpowers named Thunder and Lightning, get into some trouble, and he gets pulled out of retirement. So this it's gonna be interesting. So it'll be kind of focused on Thunder and Lightning, but then Black Lightning will be there as kind of the mentor figure. But another CW show, so it'll be how many now? Four or five.
Flash, Supergirl,
Legends of Tomorrow.
Legends of Tomorrow. Yeah. So this will be five.
So I don't know. I guess they'll all play in the same sandbox here pretty soon. Yeah. So.
They could just do one a night. A whole week.
But the shooting in the costume is pretty cool. He's always just kind of wearing a mask and then kind of a basic costume, so you don't have to have spandex or anything like that. So it should be fun.
Now I have Eddie Murphy saying spandex, all spandex.
Yeah.
That was a show. Okay. All right, moving on. So Matt, since you're already talking, tell us about New Warriors.
Yeah, so this is pretty interesting. So New Warriors, they're basically the recruits that could become the Avengers down the line. They have less experience. They're younger members.
Okay, so this is not like the Warriors movie, whereas...
I know. I was kind of like...
Yeah, so they haven't announced who's going to comprise of the team except for Squirrel Girl.
Yay!
Which I'm really excited about. This was a comic...
This is Squirrel Girl.
Wine Squirrel is my boss on a Wednesday. Anyway.
But Joey, I actually pick up the comic for Joey, and I don't think you've read too many of them, but I actually end up reading it. And it's this goofy, fun, actually funny series to read. Like, she battles Dr. Doom, and she has all these squirrels, and she defeated Dr. Doom one episode.
With squirrels.
Yeah, with squirrels, because she jumped up his armor so he couldn't see. It's just really funny stuff, but it's just...
Okay.
I'm excited. And also a local guy, Rico Renzi, is the colorist on that comic book. So yeah, it's cool to see. Yeah. That's going to be on Freeform, which used to be ABC Family.
Ah, okay.
And that's also now the home of the... They just started shooting a Cloak and Dagger on another Marvel thing. So who knows? They could have a little universe over there. So.
When do we get to be too much of a superhero glut here?
You know what I think they need to do is actually just have a channel.
Just because CW is
about to become...
It's all superheroes all the time.
And then Archie is a comic book, even the Riverdale. Yeah.
But they've made that so dark.
But the Vampire Diaries has ended, but the originals are still on, I think.
And iZombie is based on a comic book.
Oh, that starts... it started this week!
Mm-hmm. Oh!
Yay,
that's a fun show.
I like that. I have to go watch that on
Hulu. There's just enough time to watch all this stuff.
I know, there's not. That's my problem. I'm so far behind.
That's the glut.
I'm so far behind on all of them. I kind of gave up on the CW shows because I had so much else to watch.
Yeah.
And it's like, I also watch a lot of movies because I'm the movie junkie, and I also read, which obviously I haven't this week because we crossed off the book again.
Watching too much stuff. Yeah.
I know, I'm watching too much stuff.
Yeah, the secret history of Wonder Woman is just a big secret because you haven't read it.
Eventually, I'm going to tell you that secret. But I got knee-deep in con stuff this week. So.
Oh, yeah.
It was sexy. Knee-deep.
Yeah.
All right.
It wasn't sexy at all.
Nice.
So, you know, speaking of a glut of stuff, we did get a teaser trailer this week for The Defenders.
Oh.
Now that the Iron Fist series has been released, and all four of The Defenders, which is Jessica Jones, Luke Cage, Daredevil, and Iron Fist, are going to be making up The Defenders. And it was a very small little teaser. It basically shows the four of them in an elevator. It was interesting because Daredevil
has his old costume.
He has his old costume on of just the
Dread Pirate Roberts.
Yes, with eye holes. So he kind of has that on.
Like.
And then Jessica Jones turns around, sees the camera. Because you're seeing it like you're seeing a security footage. And she disables the camera and it freezes at 08/18/2017, which people are saying means that that's the release date. So it could be as early as August 18th of 2017 or it could be August 17th of 2018. They're just fucking with us.
I think it's probably this August. They're already done filming it, so they're gonna push this really quickly. Particularly because Iron Fist wasn't as well received as everything else.
Yeah.
And the elevator is actually in the building that the hand operates out of.
The first place the hand was operating.
Yeah, so it's interesting when that all takes place, I guess.
Yeah, I guess they're going to play with the timelines if Daredevil's got his old rig on.
Yeah. It's interesting. Yeah. So we haven't quite finished Iron Fist. We have more episodes yet.
I've just finished it, but we'll talk about that next week.
Okay. Totally will, because, we got a lot more to cover. Okay, so let's talk about a couple more things. Rainn Wilson is going to play Harry Mudd in Star Trek Discovery.
Yeah, I guess this tells me when the timeline is. So Harry Mudd was a character that showed up in two original series episodes, Mudd's Women and I, Mudd. And he's kind of beloved for us original series geeks. We kind of love him. I think this is really great casting, actually. I think...
He's the only one who could do it justice,
I think, actually,
probably.
he's the only one that could really do it justice. But if they bring back Mudd, I'm wondering if they'll bring back Cyrano Jones and the Tribbles.
Do you think... do you know when this is cast? Is it right after the original series?
I think it's right before.
Right before, okay. Yeah. So in between Enterprise and the classic series. Okay.
Yeah, it's either right before or right after. I need to get the timelines right, but...
A Trekkie was asking me, and I'm like, "You're the Trekkie? I like Star Trek,
but it's kind of hard to keep up with all the different timelines that they're throwing out. And I'm not even certain if they've actually released when this new series is taking place. So if Mudd is in it, it's got to be right before or right after.
Right.
Actually, I would have to say it'd have to be right after if they know who he is, because he's introduced in Mudd's Women. That's the first time the Federation comes in contact with him.
Interesting.
So maybe it's right after.
Maybe right after. Okay. Cool.
Cool. And going along with timelines, stuff. Invader Sim.
Stuff. So Nickelodeon has announced that they're going to do a TV movie of Invader Zim, and I'm very, very happy because I love Gurr, and I can't wait to see Gurr again. And, I love Zim. Zim is awesome. Zim, the comic book is awesome. The TV show is awesome. But yeah, my little spirit animal is Gurr. I just, he's not stupid. He's advanced. Gurr is the little robot that Zim helps. That, okay, Invader Zim. Zim is the worst invader ever. So his overlords send him to Earth to invade Earth, knowing that they're thinking that he's going to die in flight. So they don't even think he's going to make it here. So they give him the worst possible robot to help him. They basically just throw junk in its brain because they don't think he's going to make it here. But he actually does, and he tries to fit in, and it's horribly... He tries to fit in and invade and conquer the world, and it doesn't work at all. And Gurr usually is dressed in his little doggy suit because he's trying to blend in...
Horribly again.
So he wears this little doggy suit. And it's...
You know it's good Carol can't even talk. So.
I want to just describe scenes, but I don't because then I'll sound insane.
As opposed to...
Go to our old base, pick up the comics too.
Yeah, pick up the comics. I think you can actually... I'm not sure if it's still on Netflix, but they had the first three seasons on Netflix. But there's like one boy, because Zim goes to school, because he looks like a little kid. So he goes to school, and there's one kid in class who is the alien...
junkie.
He's a conspiracy theorist and believes that aliens are invading. And the green kid has to be an alien. So that's his name is Dib. And his sister's name is Gaz. I love these characters, so I'm happy this is coming back.
Also coming back, Game of Thrones.
Yes, we had a very brief teaser trailer that showed us all of the characters that are in play, and everybody's breathing like icy breath, so winter has come.
Oh, boy.
But that's about, that was the extent of the, it's coming back in July. Oh. That's the extent of the teaser trailer. They didn't show us much of anything.
Yeah, so talking about Netflix and things coming back and things leaving. Yeah. For those of you who missed it, Buffy and Angel were taken off on April 1st. And
I was hoping it was an April Fool's joke.
Yeah, no, it truly was. And I had actually a coworker who was... frantically trying to stream the rest of it, and she got through about the first three episodes of season 7.
No,
and she's like, "No, what do I do?" And I do have good news. I just want to remind people we do have VizArt Video here in Charlotte, North Carolina. Mm-hmm. They're off at Eastway. Mm-hmm. Very fortunate. And definitely go and support them because they provide a service that's just not around. Your Blockbuster card doesn't work anymore. But VizArt Video does exist. And I know when I was watching the IT Crowd when it wasn't on anything, and I got through, the first couple discs and then realized that there was other seasons and I didn't have them. VizArt Video was my friend. So make sure to check them out. But there is also there is good news. So even though Buffy, and you love Buffy.
Oh, I do love Buffy, yeah.
Now, do you own the Buffy and Angel DVD series?
No, I've actually never watched Angel. I've been told that I should, but...
I have to say, Angel's probably lesser. You have to...
Now, my love affair with Angel was because I watched Buffy for a while, and then I got out of it for whatever reason. It was a night that I think I was in a play or something like that, and I just couldn't do it. And Angel I was able to watch from the beginning and stay with. So I think I had a little more loyalty for it because I had kept up, but then it went weird.
Angel had Connor, and I hated it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, once Connor... Season 4 was just... the season that should have been forgotten. It's kind of like the fifth Star Trek movie. Just Just wish that country had just continued to be undiscovered.
And that's the sixth one.
But who was... but now, did you see the photos that... We talked about this last week, but did you see the photos of the 20th anniversary Entertainment Weekly photos?
No, I saw all over Facebook articles, but no, I didn't see any photos up there.
Yeah, Entertainment Weekly.
Did they have a little, like, get-together?
Yes, 20th reunion. Everybody was there except for Giles.
Okay.
You know what was really sad was, like, Wesley... First of all, Alexis Denisov, however you say it. He had a beard on, so for a minute I didn't recognize that that's who it was, but they really didn't do a lot of shots with him, but they did pictures of James Marsters and Buffy, and then also David Boreanaz and Buffy and all that kind of stuff. But,
all the pretty people.
Yeah, but I think the one that I thought looked, other than Alexis, the one that I thought looked the most different was Amber. Hmm. Benson, she looked...
Her face is thinned out quite a bit.
Yeah, mm-hmm. She's much different than... But they're still all beautiful. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Disgusting.
I think Giles did... I think Anthony Michael... Or Anthony Head.
Stewart Head.
Yeah. Did a video for them, because I don't think he was in the country for it. I think that's why he wasn't there. Mm. It wasn't that he hates them all or anything.
Well, you know, he is British. But the good news is if you love British cinema and you're not on cable, BritBox is now available. $6.99 a month, and you can watch all sorts of series. Now, it doesn't do the live streaming yet, so you can't keep up with the current stuff, although I guess some of those episodes do show up like a couple days later, like Hulu and stuff like that. Mm. But... They just announced that all 26 seasons of Doctor Who...
This is classic Who.
Well, no, it's all the way up
it's
to 2013.
Way up to, really?
All the way up to the 50th episode.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, yes. 26 seasons. They were just put on this week.
Wow.
And they're all there, and they're working on adding the audio podcasts of the lost episodes.
Ooh, yeah. That would be neat.
So I'm going home tonight and actually signing up for this. They also have an
Apple TV that's a fourth generation?
No, it'll go on my Android. It'll go on my
TV. It'll do Chromecast, Google Play, all sorts of things. Yeah. Oh, okay. So you have lots of options.
They have Absolutely Fabulous on there too, so I could go watch that again.
Yeah. So if you are a Britophile, this is definitely, and if you're an Anglophile of British television and movies, definitely BritBox is for you. So BBC America does offer, you know, a service, but again, you have to have a cable connection.
Yeah.
We just don't. Mm-hmm. So we'll probably be doing the Sling TV thing. But speaking of one more thing, messing with your childhood, potentially, Anne of Green Gables, there's a new trailer out on Netflix for the series. A lot of my friends were posting today. For many of us, Megan Follows is Anne, and Colleen Dewhurst is Marilla, and Matthew Cuthbert can only be played by one, and although he was the guy in Misery as well, but anyway. But, you know, I think there's a certain part where it's like that don't mess with your childhood kind of philosophy. Mm-hmm. But I have to say I watched it. I thought it was very interesting. This Anne is not perhaps as pretty as Megan Follows was, and which I think is a little more true to the story.
Mm-hmm.
And it does appear from the trailer that she stays a little bit more. She's not like a Megan Follows where she played young, but then she transitioned. This is definitely a young girl playing it. So there's an opportunity for her to kind of really live out that younger thing. So
cool.
Be interesting to see. Not as geeky, perhaps, but definitely worth talking about. Shall we go on to movies?
Sure.
So, let's go on to movies. So let's... Tiffany's over here drawing and crossing out and stuff like that. So you saw Ghost in the Shell. And Carol, you did too. I posted your review up online.
I did a full review. It's up on the CharlotteGeeks.
.com.
I gave it a B-, mostly for visuals and the music, because this is not the anime. I knew they'd dumb it down. I really did. So... and I'm a Ghost in the Shell junkie. I want to do a review of the 95 film because I think that is just a fantastic film. And I've watched all of the TV series as well. So this was kind of just a pale imitation.
A whitewashed imitation.
You know what? I'm not going to get into that argument because I don't agree that it was whitewashed. I really don't.
But I think that whole...
I think
that
the,
whole movement...
That whole really movement killed really killed this movie because they actually spend so much time trying to explain why she's not Japanese that it's like, okay, you're forgetting the entire essence of the anime, which is she's not human, technically. She's completely robotic.
Yeah.
So... You know, all she's got is some memories in a head. That's all that's left of her. That's what.
Wow.
God, you guys are filthy.
No. Yes, we are. We talked about magic school bus crotch shots. What do you expect from us?
Cybernetic brain. She's got memories in a cybernetic brain, and that's all she is.
So, Tiffles, you had a disappointing experience, but part of that was not really the movie's fault.
Well, right. So, the theater I went to, which, by the way, contained... my friend and one other person on opening weekend.
it's not doing well.
The 3D was off for maybe the first 5 to 10 minutes of the movie where like just super blurry, and we kind of attributed it to like, you know how there's just that transition of getting used to 3D because it's so much darker or whatever, but it was just off focus, and it wasn't too far into the movie, but it was distracting enough that, like, you kind of felt, like, off and that we'd miss something. I felt that the movie came together, that, like, I understood what I kind of had missed in the beginning. I did think it looked cool, personally, but I just found it kind of boring. I didn't connect at all to the character. I didn't give a fuck about her. I didn't care problem. Whether she died or not. I didn't care at all. Like, I really did not get... The thing I cared most about was one of the characters takes care of a few dogs. And there was one point where it seemed like one of those dogs might have something happen to it. And I was like, the fuck this movie will.
And you have no prior... Like,
absolutely zero.
Had, like, a certain understanding. You were coming
yes,
in there.
Yes, I think that the movie does a... I think you understand the context mm-hmm. and who she is and all that and that, you know, you find out who she really was before she
right.
died and stuff or whatever she whatever and they took her body, but yeah, I just I mean I didn't hate the movie, but I just did not care.
So what would you grade it?
I mean, like a C, I guess. Like I said, I really didn't hate it, but I do
that's the problem.
Bemoan
it's
that I
generic.
Paid $15 to see
this. It's very generic. And if this had come out 15, 20 years ago, because the anime came out in 95, if this had come out 10 years after the anime came out, this would probably be more well received. But now you've got so many just really visually rich films like The Matrix and all these other Matrix type films that this one is just kind of like, oh, it's another one. And since they just rewrote. The backstory of the major.
The other thing I thought was interesting about the movie was that I read, so the guy who directed this is also the guy who directed Snow White and the Huntsman.
Yeah.
Oh. Who was also the guy who had an affair with Kristen Stewart.
Yeah.
And they were saying, like, the whole dialogue was, it, you know, that he can't, even him actually discussing that affair and saying it was exciting and all this stuff couldn't give any buzz to this movie. Mm. Like, the people really just don't care.
Well, and that actually brings up that it may be the director, because I think Snow White and the Huntsman was visually actually very beautiful.
I thought so too.
But the story was just like, I don't care. It's a bad story. So maybe it's his direction. I will say visually, this is a very pretty film. I'll probably buy
pretty.
It just because visually it's... Yeah. I want it to look everywhere because it was just so pretty. But it's not the anime.
Yeah. Well, let's get on to a more hopeful topic. Joss Whedon is in serious talks to direct the standalone Batgirl movie.
God, I hope so.
Yeah.
That'd be nice.
Yeah. We can't really say much about it because he's still in talks.
Just interesting that he kind of left the Marvel camp to go over to the DC camp. But they need... I mean,
they
Joss
need
Whedon
Joss
would be
Whedon.
He knows how to write a strong female character. Mm-hmm. And I think...
Yeah.
I'm probably more excited about this than any other DC project coming up.
I'm excited for Wonder Woman because I like Gal Gadot. And I think she's got the right look. And I'm hopeful they'll do a little good with that character.
I think even if they could do as good a job as that first Captain America movie.
Yeah.
You know, because it was just like, here it is. It starts in the 40s around World War II. And then it goes to modern, just at the very end, to modern times. So I think it'd be kind of similar to them. I don't even want it to be this big spectacular. I just want it to, like, story, and establish her. Because Batman versus Superman was not a good way to introduce her. It was kind of a disservice to her, I think.
Well, I mean, Batman versus Superman wasn't a good
film. Who noticed anything after that shirtless coffee making scene?
I noticed how fake the damn eggs were in the pan.
Not everybody worships Henry Cavill.
I didn't see that, okay?
You were too busy looking at Madness.
She wasn't looking at the egg. She was looking at the bacon, okay?
Oh, look out, kids. All right.
All right. So moving on. Who has something to say about Dune?
I do. So they have a screenwriter. Now they're doing a new Dune movie. I still don't know how the hell they're going to film this book. If David Lynch can't do it, I don't know. Maybe Dennis, I don't want to butcher your last name, who did The Arrival, can. Oh. Because he's the director that is slated to direct it. And Eric Roth is writing the screenplay.
Okay.
Now everyone's throwing out, it's the screenwriter of Forrest Gump. And everyone went, oh.
Well, cool.
But he also... Oh, God, don't get me started. He also wrote Benjamin Button, The Insider, Munich, and Ali. So obviously he's got some chops. It's not all just Forrest Gump. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with it.
I wonder if they would consider breaking it up.
Oh, well, they're breaking everything up.
Well, I mean, like, make it a trilogy or a... You know what I mean?
You so almost have to because that so book big. Is so dense. It's so... Yeah. There's so many... layers upon layers.
Yeah, I mean, that's what makes the original so choppy, because they truly have to jump from one major plot point to another. Yeah.
And they actually put two books together in that. They had the ending of the second book, I believe, in a...
Yeah.
In the
Lynch
movie.
There's so much more you could play with there. Oh, so. Yeah. Speaking of more that you can play with, we saw a picture of a Kingsman Golden Circle teaser poster, and Colin Firth is in there.
Yeah, how in the hell is that happening?
So that should be interesting. Also, Elton John slated to appear. So this has definitely got some interesting chops to it. So I liked the first one. I'm interested to see what they're going to try to do with the second one. So finally, before we get to the local events in the area, let's talk a little bit about the Hugo Awards.
Hugo Awards were announced not as political as previously they have been.
What are the Hugo Awards?
Hugo Awards are for genre fiction.
Okay.
So sci-fi, basically.
Thanks for asking.
Yeah.
Like Victor Hugo.
And they've been kind of plagued by politics the last few years, because there a couple of writers were feeling that they were awarding too many nominations to progressive books, which, you know, I wanted to slap them in the face, because they were like, well, sci-fi should be all He-Man with big... space rifles saving women
in
bikinis.
What were they calling those people?
Sad puppies.
Yes.
There was the sad puppies, and then there was the rabid puppies. The rabid puppies were the ones that were throwing nominations at crap. Because the Hugo, the way you're nominated for a Hugo is a voting system. And if you get by a membership to Worldcon, you have the opportunity to vote for who gets nominated. And what they did was they just flooded. They bought passes to Worldcon, and not intending to go, just so they could vote. And they voted a bunch of crap onto the Hugos. And for the last 2 years, a lot of people who won just basically said, I don't want the award. Because
it was pretty bad.
They had no winners for several categories. This year, there's 6 novels that I'll be adding to my reading list. I don't recognize any of them, but... And I'm not going to... We'll put a link up to it. I don't want to read all of the nominations. I just wanted to throw a shout out to our artist guest of honor from last year, Ursula Vernon, who was nominated for Best Novelette.
Mm. Oh, awesome.
So,
She was on the podcast last year.
Yeah, she was on the podcast last year. Where is she? I think it's called The Little Tomato. But she's against... There's still some politics in there because she is against... the Tomato Thief. Ursula Vernon, the Tomato Thief, is Best Novelette. And she's up against Alien Stripper Boned from the Behind by a T-Rex.
Oh my God, really?
By a T-Rex,
yeah. Alien Stripper Boned from Behind by the T-Rex by Styx Hiscock.
Oh,
by Styx Hiscock.
Oh, it's self-published. I bet you wouldn't have guessed that one.
Yeah, I remember that going around on it, because it's the Amazon.com.
Yeah, well, this is different. Chuck Tingle, actually was nominated last year for, I think it was actually, My Butt Was Pounded by a Space Lizard, or Space Lizard, Space Orgy, or something like that. His books usually are like, My Butt Was Pounded by...
Is it weird that I want to read it?
So bad.
There's a demo for everything, I guess. Right.
But the day after the Hugo nominations were announced, I shit you not, he published My Butt Was Bounded by My Hugo Nomination.
Oh, no.
Chuck Tingle's actually, he's kind of a funny guy, but... And I noticed that
is it an actual book?
It's an actual, well, it's like a little novelette. Like a novelette.
All right. It's like, wow.
And I noticed they didn't nominate him this year, probably because he didn't buy into the brouhaha, so they went with a different self-published Boning in the Butt book. So, but here's hoping Ursula takes that category, because she's a good writer.
Oh my God. So funny. Well, before we come to the end our podcast.
End?
Yes. Speaking of taking it in the end, two quick shout-outs before I start talking about some cool events that are happening locally in April. Valentine Wolf is actually working on a new album. We have an article up on it on the charlottegeeks.com website.
Nice.
One of the cool things that Braxton and Sarah are doing is they're actually doing a behind-the-scenes video diary. So if you are a YouTuber at all, you'll want to subscribe to that. We did post the first episode, kind of what goes behind the scenes when you're writing it. And then there was an interesting conversation online today about how much longer people will be making CDs. You know, ethereal versus corporeal. Because a lot of artists are now going to the thumb drive version, where you can buy a thumb drive with as many songs as you want. Mikey Mason, who's our special guest, musical guest of honor at the Geek Gala, and is also appearing at Con Carolinas. You can go to some of his events, and for $50, you can buy his whole discography on a thumb drive, including special features like live performances at different cons that you wouldn't get anywhere else. So, you know, the sad thing is I always loved album covers. I remember sitting across my bed, lying across my bed, feet in the air, looking at... You know, the album covers, especially the ones that opened up,
the
liner notes, and you see photos all the way through it and stuff like that. And then sometimes on the insert, you could pull out a poster and different things. And, you know, you think of the Zipper album with Aerosmith and with Slippery When Wet and all that kind of stuff. And then you went down to CDs and it was so much smaller, but then all of a sudden you got these little booklets and stuff. And now.
Google.
Okay.
Thumb drive.
Okay, thumb drive.
Also, I want to give a shout out to the UNCC Guild.
It got quiet.
I know, I was sad. The UNCC Guild had their Guild Game Day on April 2nd, this past Sunday.
Yeah.
And they were actually working on a charity event. It's a fundraiser for the Relatives, which is, a troubled youth and teen outreach program. They were able to raise $500 for that just by setting up a game day. So kudos to them, and that's not even with the matching funds from Get Some Games. So great job. Sarah Bernards of the Guild is in charge of that. Sarah has been a faithful helper at the Geek Gala for several years, so I just want to give them a shout out. So if you're looking for something fun to do, you're probably hearing this on a Thursday. If you're listening to it live, you know that you have Thirsty Nomad and Fabo. Both have trivia nights that we love and support. Next Tuesday, April 11th is the Charlotte Geeks Book Club night. Also, next Thursday, April 13th, a Riff Track Samurai Cop. We're going to be up at the Concord Mills version. Matt and I'll be seating in seats 5, F7, and F8 if you want to try to sit near us.
I have no idea where I'm sitting because they didn't give me a seat.
Oh, maybe that they've had to expand it to 2 theaters now that they've got the seats. I don't know. I'll have to look at the ticket. Okay. But they're just... Come on out. It's always a fun time.
I mean, we'll record after
anyway. Movie
starts
at 8. I strongly suggest being there at 7:30 because they have a little PowerPoint slideshow that it's always hilarious. You actually could probably show up at 4:45 because it repeats. But good music and different things. April 21st is going to be Charlotte Geeks Game Night. That's over at Park Road at Mugs. And, of course... Andrea's event on the 22nd, Hop, Drop, and Play Shakespeare in a Day.
Yeah.
You'll get to see the performance Saturday night, April 22nd. That is at 8 o'clock as well, but you'll want to be over to the Noda Brewery location and check in by 7:30 so you can get on the bus for the
trivia.
Actually,
they're asking by 7.
Oh, yes. Okay. Well, yeah. I'll make sure to update our article.
Yeah.
But make sure you check them out, chickspear.com, and they are still looking for some actors, and it can be female or male actors. it's a 10-minute plays. So, you know, you would only have to learn 1/5 of 10 minutes worth of dialogue. So definitely something to check out. And then on April 28th, Carol the Cat and I will be up in Williamsburg, Virginia, at RavenCon, and we'll be hosting a room party there. So if you want to come out and hang out with us, make sure to do that. We will have Godzilla playing on the TV and lots of fun stuff and shots. We'll be doing lots and lots of shots. I won't be doing them, but I hand them out really well. So if that's all good, make sure you go to chickspear.com. Andrea, thank you so much for hanging out with
us. I'm so glad I did. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, and if Tiffles, any final words?
Bye.
Bye. Okay, hit the button.
Thank you for listening to Guardians of the Geekery. For more information, go to guardiansofthegeekery.com. Find us on Facebook at facebook.com/guardiansofthegeekery and on Twitter at CLTGOG. Music used by Guardians of the Geekery, Lock and Load, and A Day in the Sun by Jens Kjellstofta. Licensed under Creative Commons Attribution.